Welcome to Talking in Stations. Great to have you guys with us. This is Carneros, your host. I think today is episode 40, which is, or episode invasion 40. And we're talking about a couple things. We're talking about what's next for Winter Coalition. Winter is coming. And then we're also going to talk about Eve Vegas, which is this week. Excited about this topic. So with me, I have, well, first I'll introduce who's on camera with me. We have Greg Al. Greg Al is a well-known FC from Affirmative Dot. She does a lot of public fleets and a lot of newbie fleets, PvP fleets. She's also very famous for her volunteer efforts with the Eve community, especially around Eve meetups. We see her every year at the Eve Vegas registration desk. And she and I are excited to talk about Eve Vegas this week. Say hi to the fans.
Howdy, everybody. And I am so hyped for Vegas, guys. We're going to have so much fun.
Not on camera with us, we have Matterall, our founder. Say hi, Matt.
Hello, hello. It's Matterall.
Thanks. Sorry about the cough. I'm just getting over a cold. And then we also have Elise Randolph, not on camera today.
Hey, how's it going?
Yay. He has to get his hair and makeup right for the SOTA later today. We'll tell you about that later. And then we also have another guest here with us, Noros from NUWA Foundation in the Therapists. Say hello.
Hello. Winter aids evacuating, but at least we're still alive, right?
Excellent. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Well, let's talk about Winter Coalition. You're evacuating. Are you going north? Are you going west? Are you going northwest? Well, tell us where you're going. What's coming next for Winter Coalition?
Well, sure. We're still probably the second block level, no, the third block level coalition without a home that's being evicted over a long war. So I guess some people are nervous of where we're going next. But honestly, this has been 6 months to a year-long war in fighting in our homeland. Not like TASS, they've been extracting the invasion and the burns to put on our deterrent. We're pretty much burnt out, so I'll be honest. And for the next 3 or 4 months, I have no other plans other than crawling in Zhuang region and just recovering from this war, basically.
Understood. A lot of people are going to be excited to hear or interested to hear what's going on with the former Black Legion. You've got a famous FC, Elo Knight, with you, and his followers came and joined Fraternity, the sort of the largest alliance in Winter Coalition. Are they?
Yeah.
Are they likely to stay?
I don't think so. No. Elo and I had a basic agreement. Basically, Origin absorbed every corp in within Black Legion when the war started. And together, they're rolling into Fraternity. But now the war is over, right? Fraternity cannot sustain a USTZ content for them. So Elo and I and Origin probably leave very soon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they've always been more about combat and mercenary work than they have been about sort of planting roots in Sovnul somewhere and building an empire. That's so. I'm not surprised if the plans of Winter Coalition are to find new space, put down roots, and rebuild. That might not be the style for Origin and Black Legion.
No. They vary a lot from us, even though Elo Knight is probably my best friend in game. So I still wish them best for another way, whichever they're choosing next.
So you guys are still, if I can interrupt, on good terms, and this isn't a disagreement on which way to go or anything like that, Noros?
Of course, it's on good terms. Like, there's no way Origin live in bad taste or something like that, no.
Are you guys going to remain blue?
I don't know for now. I'll have to talk with Elo again, like during the Vegas, but I don't know for sure for now.
Just say, bro, do your friend a favor.
Well, it's certainly a favor he would give, but I don't think that's for the best of winter.
Oh, so it's not necessarily something you want to do because it would limit your options.
I mean, that even I can ask for him for this favor, but I don't think that's the best for Origin or Winterco. And because the game needs some content drive and conflicts, not more donuts, right?
I have to agree with him.
You're from the Imperium. What do you know about not blue having blues?
We just need a task representative here to complete the circle.
You're right.
There's probably one hiding nearby anyway. But so you're going to go to the drones next and start rebuilding. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. In drone region.
But is this likely to be a temporary thing and you're going to take some space somewhere else? Or you think that the drone regions, you can find a good spot to set up and be there for, you know, more than 6 months?
Very likely more than 6 months or for even like a permanent home, because drone region is vast and like spacious. You can easily form a staging system that covers more than 100 systems in 6 to 5 years. So it's pretty good for industry. It's pretty good for PvE and all that. With Ansiblex, it's not hard to find content if you want, right? Or you can be like INIT, just do Goku all day.
Yeah.
Stuka Lord.
We live next door to some Stuka fanatics called the Initiative.
Yes.
I'm familiar with the type.
What did you call him, Neuros? That's a really cool name for him. I-9-T?
Well, it's just the Chinese players. Okay, we know them. I call them Initiative. Between Elon and I. But for the Chinese player, just call them the I-9-T coming. Like right now, they have a fleet up, so I call everyone Stog up.
Yeah, no, I like that name. It's pretty funny.
Well, excellent. Do you foresee any trouble with this plan? What's going to be the hardest challenge to moving Winter Coalition to the drone regions and setting up shop?
It's probably from the other Chinese alliance in the game, because we used to have a special advantage. We used to have a home and some very good FCs, and we used to, like, all this unique stuff will disappear once I move into drone. And you have Ranger Regiment, you have VVV from Panther, and you have AOM in the south. So it's not like anything special I can recruit. And I'm worried about if one day I'll be eventually absorbed into them, maybe, if I AFK.
Roger. All right, well, good luck.
Is there anything particular about the way Chinese approach the game as far as having a home? It seems like maybe it's true for all EVE players, but like, is there anything that's specific to Chinese about having a coalition that doesn't have a home right now?
Well, my coalition is all right with me. Like, we've been literally in coma or on suspension for 30, 60 days now without a home, without an official home, of course. But they're with me, so they feel maybe it's fine. But I can tell you that Chinese players have, like, they value a lot of having a real home, a real fence around this house and all that, defenses. They love this.
I have to say, I can relate to the feeling when we lost the casino war. We were all in Saarinen looking for a new home, and we're following the Mitanni, and we have confidence in him. And he's saying, guys, just trust me. We'll get established again. And then we made a great trek down to the south and came to the borders of Delve. It's been good for us. It was rough along the way. It was rough along the way.
We saw like a picture of you, fraternity, I think it was, around a big table. And I think they're having beer and pizza or something. I couldn't tell what was going on in that picture. First of all, was that a real picture? And if it was, do you guys meet in real life and have like a board meeting like that?
Can you show me the picture? I mean, what is this about?
It popped up. I do have it, but I would have to look for it. But it was a picture of a presentation room. And
oh, yes, it was me. Yeah. I'm,
That was your picture and you don't remember it?
I know. I was telling my members we're going to Fountain, but it was probably not true at this time. But yeah, it was over the meme. We have a real life meetup in one of the very leisure Chinese city. It was very fun. We have more than 40 people over there.
Wow.
There's the picture. Yeah, maybe we can get that up on screen. But so you have, it's a leisure city, which would be like a Las Vegas, and you guys meet there and you have, yes. It's equivalent to say like the old Band of Brothers barbecue. It's like you meet, you make plans, you talk about what you're going to do in the future.
Something like that, yeah.
That's like the epitome of Eve is serious business.
Yeah, exactly.
So is there like, how does it, like I've, how do I ask these questions? Okay, so we've seen the entrance of somebody who's come from mobile gaming. Her name was Miss Rabbit. And she comes into the game and drops a ton of money. I asked her about this. We were talking not that long ago. And so I said, I want some correct numbers. Can you tell me how much you actually spent? And she said 200,000. I think it was MRB, which I imagine is yen. So I translated that to about $28,000. And I thought, well, that's interesting coming to a game to drop that amount. And it was to buy supplies and ships. And she has friends in, of course, in the Army of Mango. And she also knows some people in Ranger Regiment. So she's helping both sides. And I think in exchange for this, there's been a big, like the way that we understand it in the West may not be correct, but we understand it as she's paid for a lot of influence over Ranger Regiment. The way she explains it is those are friends that she's helping out. So is this something that we can expect to see more of? Do Chinese players have a lot of money to put into this game to use in a metagaming way to influence, which is totally legitimate, right? A lot of people have done that before.
Excuse me, my VPN barely connects. But was the question about like, are those players like Miss Rabbit to pay for the influence in the game?
My question is more like, there is rumors that Chinese players have a lot of money to spend on EVE Online. I wonder if you think
that's more of a stereotype. I mean, there are some rich Chinese people spending a lot on the mobile games, but I don't think anyone would actually say there's a way to pay for metagaming until they made EVE Online, right? And this lady was, I guess, one of those special people that found, well, I can actually pay this amount of money. Not a lot comparing to what they spend on the mobile games, but enough to get a lot of people to get them fame or the influence they want. So I guess EVE was one of those cases.
Yeah, so I asked her, how much money do people spend on mobile games? Because she said the same things. Like a lot of mobile players spend a lot of money on their games. This is not unusual. And I asked her how much that was. And I'm going to tell you at the end of the show in the you may not know section.
Oh, no. But okay, that's I'm really actually interested in those numbers, but I don't think like she can get a real influence in the leadership by paying her way through. You know, it's not that easy. Just you spend a lot of money and you can control the game, especially when she only plays for like 2 months.
Yeah, well, since May, so it's a bit more than that. But and her entering into EVE Online, does that fill you with any caution? Because I think there was some talk that some people from fraternity had mistreated her a little bit. And so the influence that she was buying might be a way of putting more pressure on Winter and fraternity. That's how we like to think of it because we like stories, but she said that wasn't true.
I guess so. To be honest, I guess so. Because we were like WeChat friends. It's the Chinese equivalent of WhatsApp. And then someday she deleted me. And the next day I heard she invested maybe 50K into Ranger Regiment. I guess that's a retaliation to me. I don't know.
Oh, so the money was spent, you should say, after you and her had some kind of a disagreement because she disappeared off your what's up, basically.
Very likely. Mm-hmm.
Did you say something to her?
No, I was very polite and I was very diplomatic. Yeah, that's all I can
do.
And bam, she just went my enemy. Oh, no.
And then suddenly Ranger Regimen can't help Wintercomb the next day. They have to stay up north and they can't come to defend timers for you or with you.
Wow.
Is that what happened, Elise, or are you making it?
I mean, that's kind of what happened though, right? Because
exactly, my enemy.
For some reason, they just decided that they couldn't come down to help Winterco for their timers.
I thought that was because PL was attacking them, your group.
Oh no, PL weren't there. It was like Horde and NC Dot that were kind of harassing Sword Dragon's group at Darkness. But it did seem to line up kind of at the same times, right? It was like, we can't do this suddenly because we're under attack. So we can't leave, but we'd like to leave if we could. But who knows? This could just be trying to add a story where there isn't one. But it does seem to fit very fun.
So you're saying that she might have paid them to stay up there and not to help Winter Coalition as some kind of revenge or retaliation to something that happened with Winter Coalition.
Well, when we spoke to Army of Mango last week, it was he described it as buying an investment and buying influence more than anything else, and he was very coy about the whole thing. It was very interesting to see his take.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm cautious too, to be honest. When everyone else in the Chinese community just suddenly held under one lady's hand, and the certain lady is not very friendly to you, you get nervous too.
I would get nervous, yeah. Well, that's interesting. What is your perspective on all that's happened then up to this point, Naros? And then we can just leave it there after that.
I think my coalition will be like behind the scene for a long time because like for the last half years, we've been on front line of every kind of conflicts. You know, O3, like our old staging system, has been most active system in EVE Online for 3 whole months, like the peak concurrent online number.
Yeah, you really, in an interesting way, here will be the last question. In an interesting way, you've really kind of kept kept NullSec interesting in that you guys were the ones fighting through everything. You fought through Drifters, you fought through Blackout, you've even fought through Sino changes. It looked to me like Blackout really wiped you guys out. Like after Blackout, you went into Blackout pretty strong defenses, but Blackout really affected you guys more than anybody else, it seems like.
Yeah, like Chinese players especially vulnerable to not be able to PvE, I guess. We were having 1,000, 1,200 people in Mumble before Blackouts. And when I come back after Blackouts, it was only like 300.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge blow.
Huge. To our listeners who don't know as much about EVE and maybe don't know what it takes to put on a war in EVE, we should let them know that it's a huge amount of work for a relatively small group of people. Your fleet commanders, your scouts, your recon directors, your war logistics folks work really, really hard. And you need to rest them from time to time so they don't burn out. And so, you know, I completely understand when Noro says his guys are going to lay low for a little bit and recover.
Oh, a couple more questions, actually. Let's open this up. One of the things that I think Vili and Test guys were insinuating was that you guys have a lot of botting. It helps you guys keep the ADMs up. And I'm wondering if you have a response to that.
They can check for themselves. Like before the war, I think maybe WikiCreek has some botting issue. But when we're trying to hold our ADM was most vastly tolerated system. Those system I assigned corps. Like I have maybe 30 corps to assign. I assign corps to every system. You can see how long we've holding those ADMs. We hold almost like 3 months. before one of the leaks coming in BOZ1. That was the first IHAP we lost during the war. And I don't think Willy is actually questioning if I'm using bot to maintain the ADM. He knows very well. He also assigned corps to lower the ADM on like maybe 3 fronts from Wiki Creek, Skeleton Pass, and Rusty Tor. If they were really bots, they can just cap them, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I hope I didn't misrepresent Billy. I thought that's what he was insinuating at certain points.
maybe some Tesla members. It's a very popular opinion among Tesla members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Chinese have been very interesting in the last... Chinese players on Tranquility have been very interesting in the last 6 months to a year. And this Miss Rabbit really complicated things. And I'm wondering if you yourself are somebody that sinks a lot of money into the game. And is there some kind of pouring in of real money to like really back up what you can do in the game?
I have seen some Chinese, some rich people with a lot of money invest in the game, but none of those, except for myself, has actually benefit my coalition or my alliance in any way. In like so significant. Not necessarily against me. Like someone just bought the third faction Titan in my alliance. But how does that help my alliance or coalition, right? The guy who lost 2 Vanquishers just bought a Moloch.
I understood he didn't buy it. He's had it for months. He just lied to a couple people.
Oh, yeah. He got it from Basin, right?
And, you know, got in past a young lady who probably should have known better, but was a little naive. And he snuck in and extracted an asset he'd owned for months. And it immediately left.
Did she get Valentined? Did she have a Valentine operative in her midst?
I don't understand.
When somebody sweet talks you out of a ship?
I don't know that inference. I don't know that reference, but it wasn't her ship. It was his ship all along for months. He just hadn't had a chance to lose it yet. The guy's got quite a Z kill board. Arguably one of the most impressive loss boards in the game.
Arguably the most stupid.
Are you mad at him, Noros?
I still mad.
I would be too.
I'm really pissed. When he lost the Vanquisher, like 3 hours later, test anchored a keep star in QLPX. You can find the reference in Settles, like after war wrap up. They found the momentum that night when they killed our Vanquisher. That's like almost decisive.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm still a bit pissed.
All right. And can I ask you, you don't have to answer, but I want to ask you anyway, how much money do you spend on the game?
I have done some quick napkin math, maybe. Maybe someone in CCP can confirm this. I think 20K. No, I mean 2000K USD.
Oh, okay.
That's substantial.
But that's not extraordinary. Extraordinary is 10, 20, no. Much more than that. Remember, yeah. Titans used to be $2,000.
Well, I've been playing 9 years, so cumulatively, it's very understandable.
Oh, okay. All right, so you're not somebody with deep pockets that's pumping a lot of money into the game and keeping your guys together with giving them all they need.
Nope.
Okay. Why did Wind Spirits is somebody that founded Fraternity and Winter Coalition, and he handed it off to you when he had to do real life stuff. By the way, Winter will be in Las Vegas. Noros won't, unfortunately. Noros, why did he pick you to run Winter Coalition?
Maybe I was the most stupid one to stand up.
You're the last guy standing. Everybody else took a step back.
Yeah, I'm basically the last one in the leadership team. So of course I am. Jokes aside, I think at that time, like 3 years ago, Winterco was, Win just created Winterco and he left 3 months or half a year later after he created this thing and everything was in infant. And I hate to see this project fell in between just after it began. So I say, well, maybe I can try and took over.
Yeah. Well, that's good. By the way, just a point of clarity, you spent $2,000 over 9 years or $2,000 a month? Like what?
I said 2,100, right?
2000, so under $2,000 since you've been playing Eve.
No, 2,100.
200,000.
That's right. More like that. Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to make that clear. $200,000 is an extraordinary amount. That's fantastic. I want to be your friend. I'm just kidding, Nars.
You can be friend with Wind Spirit. He's all right. Yeah.
All right. Good. That's great. All right. 200,000. That is an extraordinary amount of money. And that is, to me, that's fascinating. And, you know, we like to see you guys investing in this game because we like it too. All right. Thanks. That's all the questions I had.
Wow. Well, we're going to miss you at eVegas, sir.
Yeah.
And it'll be good to say hi to Wind Spirits.
Oh, Windstar would probably hold me like an iPad with FaceTime. So like an outer boy. We will have a meeting with, yeah, it's going to be fun.
We'll see you on the iPad then. we'll interview you through the iPad. That's funny.
Yeah, we'll have a surrogate Neuros right there with us.
Somebody can hold it up to their shoulders so your face looks like they're, you know, it's on their body.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Neuros. Appreciate it.
Thank you for coming by.
Could have bought a house for that.
I know. Or
depends on where you live.
Or like a really nice sports car. I hope my mom's not listening. Okay, we're going to go next to actually a news segment. And then we're going to come back and talk about eVegas 2019, for which we're all excited. So jumping on to the news for a moment. A different event is coming up in November called G-Star. G-Star is a big gaming convention every year in Korea. This year, Hilmar Paterson, who is obviously, as you know, the CEO of CCP Games, makers of EVE Online, Hilmar is going to be one of the keynote presenters at G-Star this year. So this is coming up November 14th and 15th. It's at the Busan Bexco, if you're in Korea and can attend. I don't know whether he's presenting on the 14th or 15th, and if that will be streamed anywhere. Although we'd obviously enjoy a chance to watch that stream if it's happening. No, we don't know what he's going to speak about. What else is coming up here? Yesterday, there was a very impressive remembrance fleet for a player who has passed. You might remember on last week's show when Elise and Ron did a great job, thank you again, interviewing Army of Mango. There was a little announcement at the end by Ron USMC that the well-known test diplomat Jason Richter had passed. So yesterday they did a fleet in his honor. And they took a big battleship fleet from Legacy Space across the bottom of the Eve map and met up with the Imperium battleship fleet in period basis. And they had a big I thought you put up the battle report, but it was, you know, it was like, I don't know, 26 billion in losses, and they just had a big brawl and had it. You know, it was kind of cathartic, and I think a good time was had on both sides. Afterwards, they were talking about, oh, let's do this every week somehow.
It's a nice display to shoot each other and apparently some of his favorite ships were battleships. I think Ron was saying that his absolute favorite ship was the Marshall. So someone took like a flagship Marshall out there, which was super blinged out. And it died. So it was like a super carrier's worth of loot on a Marshall.
Exactly.
At least you met him in FanFest, right?
I did. I actually had to confirm a few things with Ron, because there are two pilots that were in test that had a similar name, Richter and Daris, who I had also met and spent a good amount of time with. But he was not the person. It was Jason Richter, who I had met very briefly. But he was a great guy. We shared some drinks about. I think he was wearing a dino mask at the time, or at least had a dino mask, and gave me some friendly ribbings. So,
oh, that's good.
Nice.
It's always sad when somebody passes, but it has a little bit of a haunting effect in these virtual worlds where the name almost lives past the entity that was in it. And it feels very haunting to see that name or to talk about the things they did. I don't know. It's a very interesting reaction that people have to losing friends in the game, in the virtual world.
Yeah, I have. I was on the CSM with Valorant, and every time every once in a while, there are some like words that come up. De-escalate is one of the words that he used quite a bit. That was kind of his. I don't want to say that was his thing, but that was definitely a word that you associate with Valorant. And every time someone says that, I think of the last time I saw him at like the airport. He was going through the diplomat line. And he was like, "I'll see you next time."
Likewise, there was a Bastion member killed in a big mass shooting in Riverside, California, a couple of years ago. Photon Torpedo was his name.
Yeah.
And I still remember a Photon Torpedo from time to time whenever the name Riverside comes up. Yeah. But I do want to point out that EVE Online is arguably the most advanced MMO yet in terms of how it handles those players who have passed in real life. Like there's the memorial where you can, there's the physical memorial in Iceland, and then there's the virtual memorial in game that with the beautiful monument structure. It's fantastic. I do hope that someday there's a way you can set up sort of a will in game. Maybe even if you have to buy something on the store, so that all your assets, you know, upon your death, get delivered to someone in game. I think that would be great.
Oh, that's interesting.
It'd be a pain in the neck, but go ahead. Okay.
I find that the in-game memorials, especially when we're doing the Sino lighting, is actually so much more meaningful to me than like going to a funeral. We lost a very good friend of ours. Drew Monach earlier this summer to alcoholism, and he was very active in the role-playing community, and they did a role-play style memorial complete with, you know, eulogies and everything, and I was just bawling. And it's just an indication of this community and the spirit of it. When you go on a Reddit or Twitter and you see all those 07s saluting somebody who's passed. Just, I don't know anybody who doesn't get a little teary-eyed at that.
I wish Max were here. His Holiness Max Singularity the Sixth, first of his name, the true Emperor of Amar, is also the head of the Sixth Empire, which has a mission of remembering those who pass. So he would be great to have on this moment. However, we do hope to see him at EVE Vegas. How's that for a segue?
Nice.
Yes, he will be there, assuming he has the dates right.
That's an inside joke. I think he's going to show up. He's going to show up to do this show live at 3:45 instead of 8:45. So he'll be a bit late. Maybe he can hang out for the PL stuff.
Yeah, later today, by the way, there will be special coverage for Pandemic Legion State of the Alliance address, which people call a SOTA, S-O-T-A. This will be the first one live casted. Am I right, Elise?
Yeah, pretty much. It's going to be the first time it's ever going to be an audio one instead of just a... I don't think that's the case. But it's going to be the first time that it's recorded publicly and instead of just being leaked. I don't think we've ever had one leaked. I used to do all of mine in a text form, and sometimes I would bloviate a little bit so people didn't read them. So I think Headliner's plan is like, hey, well, if people don't want to read them, I'll give them something to listen to. So that'll be interesting. It's a neat thing that in EVE Online, there's always room for firsts. You're talking about an alliance that's been around for like 14 years, so... The fact that I can still do some firsts is pretty interesting.
Yeah. What are they going to announce today?
They're announcing I'm back. No, I'm just kidding. No. That is not at all what they're doing. Thank goodness for PL. That would be miserable.
Oh.
But no, I'm not sure what they're going to announce. When you're not the leader anymore, you don't get to get all the juicy gossip. So I have no idea what's going on. I'm just as excited as everyone else.
They're going to announce that Matterall was recently recruited into PL. He went in kicking and screaming.
There you go.
That's another.
Kidnapped from NCDOT.
Norris was right. Blue donut. There goes the
All right. So that presentation is going to happen in a few hours here. It's at 1900 UTC, which is for us 2 hours from now.
And Matterall, are you going to be hosting that one from the Talking Station side?
I will, because we want to try this out, and this is open to any alliance that has a State of the Alliance. You know, I know that Naros and Fraternity actually stream theirs, but in Chinese. So we're now like going to talk to him about streaming it and actually having commentary over it. So the idea is that if you have a State of the Alliance, we'll hold it for you live, try to gather an audience, and then we'll do some commentary on it to give some context on what they're talking about actually means to the game. Because I strongly believe that this game isn't just about big fights. This game is about diplomacy. It's about political intrigue. It's about moves, move ops and that kind of stuff. So we want to try to cover a fuller breadth of the game.
And again, that's going to be on this channel in about 2 hours for the people asking.
All right. Excellent. Now, speaking of schedule items, let me ask McLeod, our producer, if he could post the EVE Vegas 2019 schedule as well. The link is in our sheet there in the show notes. So the registration opens at 4 p.m. on Thursday, local time.
2 p.m.,
1400. I wrote that wrong. Shame on me. 2 p.m. No, I had it right.
Time conversions.
Yes, ma'am. So are you going to be there at the desk to say hi to people?
I sure will be. And I'll actually be arriving on Wednesday. And then me and the volunteers, we help CCP set up all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And, of course, we handle all of the check-in and stuffing the loot bags. And some of those boxes you see behind me are actually loot that people sent me directly to put into the welcome bags.
Fantastic. Can you sneak us some? Show us some?
I can show you.
Show us some.
I know. I can show you a business card that somebody's putting into all the bags. This is a Blazing Saddles. Nice. I mean, Blazing Capsules. And it's really shiny and just really a cool looking card. I've got a couple of business cards. There's some pins that are going in and for Broadcast for Reps. Hazmat is bringing a whole bunch of little pins for Broadcast for Reps, and that'll be going into every bag. And then other stuff going into the bags that I'm not going to mention. And then we have some loot from Able Gamers that I will be more than happy to show you. So along with the setup for the... is it okay if I go into the fundraising stuff?
Go for it.
Okay, because I'm like so excited about the fundraising. This is probably the best part of any of these EVE events that I do, that I'm involved in, is raising money for good charities. And this year at EVE Vegas, again, just like last year, we will be raising money for Able Gamers. And this year, Able Gamers sent us some loot to use during the fundraisers. So, of course, we will have the little button factory set up where we make character avatars, and you can get your avatar printed on a button on demand. Just make a donation of any amount. Sorry, oops, there we go. Something like that. And that'll be set up. Many of you have been to Vegas before. You're familiar with those, and you probably have one already. Just the buttons alone last year, we raised over $5,000 just on the buttons alone. This year, though, we're doing something new, very, very new. We Rick Javix designed us these really wicked cool. It's just not going to look very good on my cheap camera. Concord pilot's licenses. So you'll be able to get printed on demand your own Concord pilot's license. Here's Dunk Dinkles. Let me back up a little bit. There we go. I think that's a little better. Give you an idea what it looks like. You think we've had them on Twitter. Yeah, I did have those on Twitter. We're expecting demand to be so huge for these that I just went ahead and pre-printed one for everybody who had already bought a ticket as of about a week and a half ago. And people wonder why I've been up all night every day.
Wow.
But yeah, and so just show up, hand over some money, donate any amount you want, and you'll have your very own Concorde pilot's license.
Wow.
They're really, really nifty. The camera does not do them justice. And
what game conference do you go to? What conference do you go to anywhere where the registration desk is one of the most fun parts of the whole event? This is crazy, folks.
None that I've ever been to, admittedly. So on top of that, the volunteers came up with a couple little ideas because, like I said, Able Gamers sent us some loot. And, you know, since they didn't send like 1,000 pieces, we had to come up with some ideas of what to do with it. One of the things they sent us was 25 Able Gamer logo joysticks, plushies. I have to move opposite of what I think nice. I have to do. These yeah. are not phallic at all. yeah, that's not designed for an Eve player at all. And they're so cute. They're so cool. And I remember from a prior Eve Vegas, we instead of a pub crawl, we went to the Museum of Pinball Machines or something like that. It was the funniest thing was watching all these Eve players fighting over the claw machine, getting the stuffed animals out of that. I mean, armloads. People were walking out with armloads. So what we decided to do is we're going to set up a ring toss for these things. So you'll make a donation and get some rings, and you just toss the ring around it. And if you catch one, it's yours. We're already starting a betting pool on how long it takes before somebody comes up with a way to scam that thing and to cheat on it. On top of that, Rix Javix, again, the fabulous Rix Javix. This is just a print on paper, so it's not very good looking. They're actually going to be a little bit smaller than this and printed on cards. We came up with this thing called swag exploration. And this is basically a bingo card, and on the back of it will be a treasure hunt. And there's a whole bunch of things you can do, such as like get an autograph from a dev, take a picture with this, you know, selfie with the CSM member, a whole bunch of other different things. And the more of them you do enough of them, you get bingo, well, complete your bingo card, bring it back to the volunteer station, and the first 30 people each day will get one of these, which is an Able Gamers pin.
Fantastic. Very impressive.
Yeah. And of course, when you get your card, actually, we'll have a bunch of other swag out there, some wristbands, some swag that is left over from G Fleet, and some other little swag that people have donated for the Swag for Good. So you make a donation for Swag for Good, select whatever swag you want, plus you get one of these cards, and then you get to go and just explore throughout the event area and even a little bit of Vegas and get your little gold stars or stamps or autographs or whatever and complete as much as of your card as you can to get a pin. And of course, we're also doing a silent auction.
All right, you'll have to tell us about the silent auction. But first, I want to point out that swag doesn't just come in the bag and doesn't just come from this really cool game that you guys have built. It actually, all kinds of people walking around this show have swag in their pockets to give out to people. I really encourage you to meet people, introduce yourselves, make sure your badge is pointing in a way that they can see. But that, you know, people want to meet each other. It doesn't matter who you fly with or who they fly with. No one cares about that. Everyone's an Eve brother and sister at these events. We're all in the same team. We're all Eve players at this. It's fantastic. It's an amazing dynamic. And a lot of them will hand you amazing stuff. I have to show you a couple things I've gotten in past years while the cameras are on. This is a challenge coin from the Imperium that was given to me at the dinner last year.
What number do you have?
6.
Oh, I'm 105.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit spoiled for being an autocrat. Also, they made some, this is from 2017. They made some Bastion challenge coins also that look like poker chips. I love them. These aren't numbered like the Imperium ones, but love this thing. Has a cool plastic case to hold it in too that I really love.
Yeah, EVE groups really go all out. And if this is your first EVE Vegas, I'm going to give you just a little bit of a tip, an insider's tip. You want to find Dunk Dinkle and Delana from Brave Newbies and Horde, respectively, because they always have the coolest swag. I'm not saying no one else has cool swag, but they definitely have the coolest ones and giant bags of it. And I know Delana actually has Talking Station pins. And I'm sure she's going to have cool Horde stuff as well.
And of course, you must ask about the friendship briefcase. Briefcase of friendship with Dunk Dinkle. I'm pretty sure he's bringing that again, right? I think he's in chat.
He has to. It's part of his branding now.
Yeah, it's not Brave at an event without the briefcase of friendship.
And for those that aren't like fully aware, like Able Gamers, it's a really cool charity that EVE has been supporting for quite some time. They essentially give people with disabilities custom gaming setups. Like they just have a bespoke controllers, whatever they need for whatever mobility issues they have. Some controllers are completely done with like optics and your eyes. Some have like a little straw thing, and some are just bigger buttons and stuff like that. And they give these people these controllers. They don't just lease them out or rent them or anything. They give these controllers away. And, you know, the idea is everyone should have the ability to game no matter what like disabilities you have or not, because it is so cathartic. So it's a really great cause. And I think EVE has raised more money for them than any other game. I don't know if that's actually true, but I feel that's true.
And, it's to the best of my knowledge, the EVE community, especially in the early years of Able Gamers, we were a substantial amount of their the funds that they raised. I know that the first year they had 60,000 or 80,000 total in donations. The first year that EVE Vegas actually EVE, I think it was Las Vegas. It was at FanFest, but I'm not sure. But the first year that the EVE community did a fundraiser for them and raised something like, I don't know, $18,000 or $20,000. So that was like a third or almost a third of the money that they had raised the entire year. And now they're about $1 million a year, charity, and are affiliated and supported by Microsoft. And so the money that we donate to them not only makes a difference in the lives of individual players, it makes a difference in their mission. And I don't even know if, you know, maybe I'm talking out of turn here, but it's hard for me to imagine that them as a charity would have actually survived their first few years without the support of Able Game, without the support of us, of the EVE community. Because we've been raising money for them, 5 years at least. And I'm really, really hoping that this year we completely annihilate last year. Last year was just over $15,000, I think, that we raised at EVE Vegas. And so I'm really, really pushing for us to raise a lot more than that. They really are an amazing charity.
This is exciting. Absolutely. Now, in addition to the charity and the silent auction and just meeting people and the swag and the registration desk, by the way, say hi to Razor Clear as you're going through the registration desk too. He'll probably be the first person you talk to in the queue.
Laser and Giznet Malachite, they're the ones actually who will be at the front of the line scanning your tickets.
I also want to say that there's going to be, Friday night at 4 p.m. is the keynote. That's the big keynote. That's the thing we're all excited and waiting for. It's going to be streamed. I don't know where exactly it's being streamed. Do you know, Greg Al?
All the streaming will be on CCP's Twitch channel, which I believe is literally twitch.com/CCP or /E, something like that.
Twitch.tv/CCP, probably.
Yeah, probably.
But that's going to be 4 p.m. on Friday. If you're not in the show, you know, there's a Twitch app for your phone. Stream it on there. Unfortunately, it looks like I'm going to be stuck in a hospital in L.A. and unable to make it to the event personally, even though I've got my badge and my room and everything. But I will be streaming it on my phone from the hospital Wi-Fi if I can't make it out there. We'll see how that goes. But I understand there's also then on Saturday a bunch of presentations, and that Greg Al is presenting on one of them, and so is Elise, right?
Yes, I'm Sunday, but Greg Al gets the top billing.
What are you presenting on?
I am presenting Anyone Can FC, Even You. And I actually just finished my PowerPoint with like 4 hours to spare this morning. And, you know, hey, I get the opportunity to talk like 45 minutes or so without interruption. It's going to be great. But I'm going to be talking about Anybody Can FC. And I'll go through some of the basics of setting up FC. And, of course, my personal somewhat I've been told, unique approach and philosophy towards Fleet Command, and which comes down to a nutshell, keeping it fun mostly.
There's going to be a lot of really cool presentations that I'm excited about. It seems like there are fewer player presentations than there have been in previous years, but they're all very long ones. Instead of, there used to be like different time slots. There used to be like a 20-minute slot and then like a 40-minute slot, but I think now they're all 45 minutes to an hour slots. I know Max Singularity, the Space Pope, is going to do a presentation. His is always amazing.
Yes.
Because it's not necessarily Eve related, but it's very sciencey and Eve related at the same time. His is called Return to the Moon. So I can guess what it's going to be about, right? Johnny Splunk also has one. He's got very fun presentations. Yeah. Dunk Dingle also has one. He's doing one on Sunday afternoon about how to lead without being a CEO. It's kind of a continuation of his same one from last year.
Yeah, I thought he did that one last year.
Yeah, this is the part two. It's the part two.
There's a part two?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, no offense to CCP, but I'm actually way more excited about the player presentations than I am about the CCP presentations. Well, except for the friendship one.
Oh, we'll get into expectations game.
And then there's also one more from Ansla Antier from Pen Is Out. I don't know what he or she is presenting. Did you see that one?
Well, I think it's about a supermassive black holes.
Of course. All right. Good to know about.
I was going to say, if you don't know what he's presenting and he's from the Alliance Pen Is Out, just put it all together.
Dude. But anyway.
Sorry.
But yeah, definitely, Greg Al's right. The focus is more on EVE players than on CCP at EVE Vegas, as opposed to EVE FanFest in Iceland, where the focus is more on CCP and they're in their hometown. But yeah, here the players rule. Although it's also fun to talk to CCP at EVE Vegas, where they can let their hair down a little bit more, because they're not carrying all the weight of the event like they do in Iceland.
Yeah.
And there's going to be something like 30 devs in attendance as well. So it's
38.
38. Geez, that's so many, it feels like. Especially when we look at the schedule, there's only like probably a dozen or so that are giving presentations, which means you can just grab them and talk to them.
And, you know, EVE Vegas has always been a little, you know, more about the players. And that started back when Goonswarm and Zappa Works, I think I have his name right, was doing it. And when I got involved, it was, at least for me personally, very important that to what extent I had any influence on it, that we continue to keep it player focused. And of course, CCP intended, like right from the beginning, to continue that. And so it's always been much more about the players. And it's kind of cool too, because you really do see CCPers let down their hair, relax, enjoy themselves. Oh, that's from last year. And that one picture, that one painting that you just showed there, that went for over $2,500.
Wow. It was amazing.
It really was.
That artist is amazing.
Rosorian. Yep.
Rosorian. Yes. Absolutely amazing. Anything he makes makes you stop and look at it and just absorb it. It's amazing.
And there are still there's still tickets available, by the way. Oh, wow. But they're, I don't know the numbers. I don't know how close they are to sold out. But what I've been told is that they're very close to sold out. So it's not too late to get a ticket.
Well, there's a lot of people that go and they don't get a ticket because they really just want to party. Now, I think that's terrible, but it's very viable. A lot of people do it.
Yes, a lot. I would guesstimate last year we probably had 300 to somewhere between 300 and 400 players who never went to a presentation, never bought a ticket, but were still there hanging out in the bar, you know, tagging after people, just, yeah, having a great old time. And that's including, what was it, about 180, 200 goons that were there, but many of them bought party only tickets or had tickets to the event too. There was a lot last year, you know, a lot of non-ticket holders, but they still in their own way support it.
Yeah. I was going to ask your opinion on that, Greg L, because you're someone who certainly is a CCP helper and a community person and a new player helper. And you just have an overabundance of good intentions. I wonder what your perspective is on that.
So now this, of course, is coming from, you know, my having organized events, not just helping CCP out, but organizing events and especially fundraising events throughout my life. To a certain extent, it's actually a good thing. You end up with an event that looks more populated than it really is. And the people who are coming to the event, even though they didn't buy a ticket, are still sideways supporting the event. Like in the case of the donation stuff that we do, that's, you'll notice that we've always had it set up outside. You know, outside the rooms. So you didn't need a wristband to come and get your button made, for example. They spend money at the venue, which makes the entire event look better to the company, the venue. Many of them will use hotel, every hotel is a little bit different, but for the most part, when you're having an event in a hotel, you get a code, a little discount code. And there's an expectation that you're going to have X number of rooms actually sold. And oftentimes, some hotels will give like a commission to the event organizer. Some hotels give you an X number of rooms free for each X number of rooms sold. And so there's people renting rooms using that code, even though they didn't buy a ticket. It's still best to buy the ticket because that money goes directly to support things like getting the presenters over, having food like coffee and stuff in the morning for everybody there and things like that. But I personally am a more the merrier person. And I think that if, you know, somebody wants to go and they want to be a part of it, even though they're not going to be able to actually enter the event, but they can't, you know, and they can't afford a ticket, let them. And it should be noted that's what I did in 2012, my first eVegas. I just showed up.
And then we got you addicted.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fantastic, too, that they have a party-only ticket that you can get. Yeah. So it's less expensive than going to the whole thing. It's great for folks who live in Las Vegas and have to work and can't attend much of the event. They can at least go to the party and see everyone. It's great for if you bring your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend with you, that they can go to the fancy party with you, even though they're probably going to get bored if they sit through the whole thing, all the panels and stuff with you. A party is always exceeds my expectation. It's always wonderful. It's at a new venue this time. But familiar from years past, we've got Permaband playing. CCP Guard will be reprising his famous role as the lead singer for this concert.
Yeah, they quite literally got the band back together for for this.
Blues Brothers.
Yep, the whole original ones are coming in. And I don't know if is it CCP Terra that was singing with them last year? I can't remember exactly. I don't know if she'll be there also. Well, I mean, I know Terra's going to be at Vegas, but I don't know if she'll be on stage with them. But Permaband is the bomb. I just totally fanboy every time they sing Killing is a Means of Communication because that's my favorite of their songs. And of course, Streamfleet will be there. They'll be doing all of the streaming. Oh my God, those guys and gals just work so hard and they just don't get near enough credit. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how many CCPers are there, but you only see so many for the presentations. Again, it's all about the behind the scenes stuff. So many people, I mean, I have 21 volunteers this year. So many people just working all day long across the board, making it happen, putting on a really good stream, putting on really good presentations. It's a lot of work. And again, I don't have any insight into numbers or anything, especially CCP's numbers, but I know from experience that events they almost never break even. Events almost always lose money. So there's a great deal of love and passion to put on an event like this on the part of everybody involved.
And it's going to be the last officially sponsored eVegas as an official EVE event. Of course, next year they're moving to the venue to San Diego. eVegas mm-hmm. will still be a player-run event going on forward next year. So you don't have to cry too much over eVegas this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves. And in some ways, it feels like the perfect time to, you know, basically not just go back to the roots of eVegas, but also to evolve those roots. It's now an event that's so large that with some smart planning, they could actually put on an event that doesn't, like, you know, that a single player isn't having to put, you know, max out his credit card just to sign a contract or something. And there's so many more people involved and committed to it. So we'll see what happens. And it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves. I am personally excited about San Diego. It's one of the few major U.S. cities I've never actually been to. I'm actually way more excited about the fact that it's going to be in a different place every year.
Yeah.
Y'all know I love eVegas. Don't get me wrong. I adore eVegas, but I love traveling to places I've never been before way more.
That's something that doesn't get reported a lot. San Diego is just 2020. After that, it's going to move somewhere else. Maybe New Orleans?
I hadn't realized that, actually. Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to move around.
Yep. I actually said, hey, if I could put in a suggestion, can we go to places like Colorado, Texas, Florida, New York? Wouldn't it be cool?
I think Delana is trying to get Louisiana on there with New Orleans.
Ooh.
Although they've had New a setback Orleans. With one of their hotels collapsing, but
yeah,
just a small
there is
setback.
That. We were going to
use that. There is that.
Beignets.
I love beignets. And I do want to kind of salute CCP for something too. They managed to take over the heavy lifting on eVegas, but still keep the tone very player meetup feeling in a way. They managed to keep the tone very true to the original, I thought. And this is going to actually work in our favor next year when it converts back to being a player event. And it will still, I think it will be a more smooth transition because there won't be so much jarring shift in how it worked. So, you know, well done all around, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You know, no matter what happens, no matter where it's at, you get a bunch of EVE players together and it's a good time. And it's not about the geography. It's not about, you know, how many special events there are, you know, buying a ticket for throwing axes or pub crawl or anything. Really, the party is the players. So you get the players together and it's done. And it's a good time.
For people that can't make it, because a lot of people can't make this trip, it's either bad timing or expensive or it's just too far away. We're going to try to bring you as much behind the scenes as we can. I did that 1 year before where we did a live blog and posted up videos as soon as they happen. I'm just going to try to do as much of that as possible for TIS. So look for things to happen on this channel as well. One thing for sure we're going to do is a Sunday show. So next week, there will be a show. It'll be from Las Vegas, and StreamFleet's helping us with that.
Yay, thank you.
And what time is that?
That's actually going to be local time, 9 a.m. So it's the same time as the show always is. Just some of us will actually stumble out of bed and do the show.
Basically, you'll go from the party to the the broadcast.
I'll take a little 8-hour nap before that. But yeah. Yeah, so it is the day after the party. And Elise will be there to help me. And we don't know about Carneros, possibly. It looks like not, but we'll always keep hope either way. And some of the guests that we'll have that have committed to being on, but we'll see if they show up because it is going to be after the party, is Headliner, Elo Knight, Wind Spirits, Gobbins. We'll see if these guys show up. And we want more from various play styles. So we're looking for guests for the Talking Stations show from Las Vegas, 9 a.m. local time.
Yeah, and that'll be a full day to have people like just digested kind of like the main presentation that everyone's excited for, which is the EVE Core gameplay update, which is Saturday morning. So that's going to be, I think that's going to be what everyone's excited to hear in as terms of CCB presentations going. And it's the first one, so, or I guess the first one on Saturday. And then, of course, the keynote is the day before on Friday.
Yeah, so we'll be able to have fresh news and talk about it, break it down, give it some context, and make some analysis for you guys. But also, definitely, we want to bring you, the people that can't attend, we want to bring you in as much as we can. So we'll do ad hoc interviews and just stop people and take pictures and ask them questions and stuff like that for you. So we'll try to work this as an actual convention for you.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see that myself.
And if you like EVE history at all, I have a presentation on Sunday. It's at noon. It is right now at the same time as the EVE Friendship Machine. So I assume no one's going to be in my presentation, but it will be recorded. And it's a history of EVE's most popular ships and the doctrines through the years, going back from 2003 up until recent times. So I had a lot of fun researching the presentation, and I watched probably 20 hours of EVE videos. Wow. And my God, everyone used the same Skrillex song for like 3 years in every video.
Wow. I bet I know which one it was.
Yeah, it was Bangarang. Everyone just used it for 3 full years. Everyone used the same freaking song in every freaking video. It was terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah, so terrible. We got some fun little tidbits for you guys. And that's Sunday at noon, I think.
You can't wait to see you again, Elise.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Your FanFest talk that you gave about the history of FCs and their lineage was amazing. So I expect good things.
All right. At this point, let's start to wind down the show by going around and having folks tell us things that you might not know about EVE Online. Who wants to go first? Or do you want me to?
I'll start since I had already teased this. So we'll just go ahead and fill in the gaps. Again, I was talking to Miss Rabbit. I was talking to Miss Rabbit, and she told me that she had spent something like $28,000 on the game, and I thought that was a lot. But in retrospect, she flushed out that that's not unusual. In fact, that's not even what people normally spend. People who play mobile games in Asia spend upwards of 100 million yen, which comes out to...
A million renminbi? RMB?
RMB, yes.
What's a million RMB?
It's like 150,000
US dollars?
Yeah, I think it's like $150,000 a year.
Those are the wealthy people.
That's what I figure.
I mean, if you, it makes a lot of sense if you look at the latest Army of Mangoes fleet. you're talking about a 6 months old alliance, and they managed to just ping to save a Titan, and they got 25 supers. A 6 month old alliance just fielding 25 supers casually. So that kind of makes sense. It's a very odd culture shift for us.
I got people poking me saying, is there going to be a Talking in Stations brunch this year or breakfast at Vegas?
There is. We should have gotten that information, yikes, for today. Maybe I'll make a special broadcast that just gives that information. The crew itself will have their own thing going so that we can all hug each other and thank each other for...
Okay, good. But yeah. No, tell the members what they can come to, because some of them are excited to meet us.
Yeah, and if people are in Las Vegas and want to meet us, we are going to get together. I believe last year, we'll probably do the same this year. It's being planned out, but not by me, because I gave it to someone who was good at this sort of stuff. But I don't know exactly when or where we will be meeting, but it will be right before registration, I believe. I'll get details and look for information on Talking in Stations Discord. We'll be publishing the information there. And for podcast listeners, I'll do a special broadcast that gives you our little schedule. But yes, we would love to meet you, Elise, Carneros, myself. Carneros, I hope you can be there, but probably not. And the rest of the crew from Talking in Stations. So come up and say hello.
Okay, more on things you might not know. I'll do one now. Okay, if you have a SovNull system with an upgraded iHub, so this is already cuts down the audience a bit. And you have upgraded it with the Super Capital Assembly Array upgrade. Okay, let's say you've got that in there. And you've got a Sotillo capable of building super capital ships and capital ships. Now, let's say you've got capital jobs running in the Sotillo, but no super caps running. You might think, oh, can I turn off my super cap upgrade this month and save the 1.1 billion ISK per month maintenance fee just to run that upgrade since no one's using it? Yeah, you can go offline at any time you want. But if you do, your capital jobs in the Sotillo will suddenly freeze and they will not finish. You would think that since they don't have, that the supercap has no upgrade, has no effect on your capital job you're building, it shouldn't affect it, you would think, but it does. So I don't know if this is a bug. I don't know if it's intended, if it didn't get tested or what, but just keep that in mind that it will pause your capital builds in the Sotillo if you do that. So be careful. I am not mocking you today, Brisk. I am wearing this hat because the Niners are playing at the moment, and I would rather be here with you lovely people talking about my favorite video game. But part of my heart is also down at the sports bar watching the Niners play. Anyway, sorry. It's not about you, Brisk. Love you. Okay, anyone else? Who's got a...
I've got a did you know, but it's kind of related to the history. It doesn't work anymore, thankfully. But back in the day, you could have nanofibers, which would increase your agility, and rigs named the polycarbon engine housing that would also increase your agility and speed, and they wouldn't stack with one another. And actually, they wouldn't even stack at all. So you just shove as many as you wanted on there, and you would have very agile battleships that would go 5-6K a second. That's gone now. You're welcome.
I remember that, actually. Forgot about it until you mentioned it.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were terrible to deal with because they were just too fast and too
fearless. Are we talking about... This isn't the nano era, is it?
Yeah, this is just around the nano era, but it's before people started using the Vagabond and people were using Typhoons and Dominixes and Ravens.
Great guy.
Real quick, sorry, Carneros, real quick, did you cover at least the speed changes that have dropped?
I don't think so, actually. Warp speed changes happened, I think, on Tuesday, Battle cruisers and battleships now warp faster. So quality of life improvements. Oh, cruisers too. Okay. I thought it was just battle cruisers and battleships. So cruisers, battle cruisers, and battleships now warp faster, which is good. That was such a pain when you ever wanted to fly a battleship because it goes so slow And same with Battlecruisers. And, you know, when I was looking at the presentation, it seemed the game was healthiest when there were, I mean, this is from my perspective, not anyone else's and not actual using numbers. It was healthiest when people were out flying Battlecruisers and Battlecruiser fleets all the time. So that was a fun era of EVE Online, it felt. Also, autopilot chain, so it doesn't take you to 15 kilometers anymore. It takes you to 10 kilometers. Which is nice. A little bit of quality of life changes there too, if you're just going to go AFK.
So we'll speed up your autopiloting as you travel through systems.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is it dropped immediately. It said, this is what's in the game right now. And this is the first time I've seen that. And it will apparently be the beginning of a pattern we've confirmed where CCP will throw in balance changes immediately without warnings, and that's part of the chaos era.
I like that. It gives people you know, instead of the way it used to be is they'd put out patch notes and they'd say, okay, so coming in a week or two, this is what you're gonna see, and everyone will have already theory crafted the most perfect setup for the new ships and the new changes that are coming. So there'd be like no fun experimentation phase, right? Now you just get you get the change. And you can complain about it live if you want, but you don't have to. You don't have to complain at all. You just come and find out the best fit through experimentation.
Awesome, thanks,
Greg. Al, do you have a tip for us?
Well, now, mind you, I've been up all night, so the only thing I could think of is something in game that I actually tell new players all the time. If there's a bomber on grid and it launches a bomb, if you kill the bomber before the bomb explodes, the bomb doesn't explode.
Oh, that's a good one.
Also, turn off your micro warp drive.
Oh, yeah. Turn off your micro warp drive. But yeah, just so bomber on grid, tackle it, kill it, boom, bomb just fizzles out.
I don't think I knew that one.
I come across a lot of older players who don't know that, but most of the younger players, at least the ones that have been, you know, who've flown with me at least once, have learned that, especially because, you know, I tend to fly a lot of frigate and destroyer fleets, so we get bombed, you know, fairly often. And oddly enough, I was just watching some old videos of some of my fleets where we got bombed by a bunch of people, including Elise Randolph.
Oh, he's a bastard. I know what you mean. Oh,
that's how I started off. I was a bomber FC at the very beginning.
What, was it always like that? If you blew up the ship, the bomb was negated?
Yes.
Yeah, it's been like that the entire time I've been playing EVE, which is just a little over 10 and a half years, or just about 10 and a half years. I actually learned it on an Agony PvP basic class back in the day.
Yep. I went to an Agony class back in the day, too, while I still worked for CCP. Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
Quite a few did. Quite a few have. And they had a, you know, their PvP basic class. So many people that went on one of those end up still playing the game today.
Yep. They were great. I miss them.
Me too. I was with them 2 years, about, what, 2.5 years, and I ran PvPU and just, well, I'll talk a little bit about that when I, during my presentation. But yeah, they had a, one of those unsung heroes of EVE that had a much larger impact on the game than anybody would really imagine.
Yeah, one of their fleets killed me in Syndicate once. I'll never forgive them.
More than once.
A rare death. Do you know how hard it is to find an Elise corpse anywhere for your Moloch?
I can supply them. I've got a good source.
Well, take your time because I don't have a Moloch yet. All right, well, thank you guys. Thank you very much. It's been great. Thank you, Greg Al, for coming out and joining us. Thank you to Norris, who's probably sleeping somewhere. Good luck to all the folks preparing to present at EVE Vegas this week, including Greg Al and Elise. Looking forward to this. Excellent. All right. And folks, we're gonna wind up now, but you'll see us back online a little bit later today for the Pandemic Legion State of the Alliance address. And also we're gonna take advantage of this moment to go raid and visit. Okay, no raid then. We might go raid someone. We'll see in a moment.
We probably won't raid because we're gonna come back on in like shortly. So we'll be right back to do a warm up for the State of the Alliance for Pandemic Legion. So there's no point in raiding everybody away and then coming on and starting over again.
All right. So lots of you come back for the Alliance. Let's make Headliner nervous with a large crowd.
You better have some good.
Thank you very much. See you at eVegas, even if only virtually.